Game on, weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Well, a big thanks to Beto da Silva for driving us through the afternoon. It is Thursday, September 5th. I am Shane Dawson. You are listening to Game On. Coming up between now and the new music show at 7pm, we'll be crossing live to Paris for commentary of Roisin Nirine's 100-metre breaststroke final just after 6:30 at the Paralympic Games. And on the topic of commentary, legendary commentator Guy Mowbray joins us to continue our build-up to Ireland-England, while Rebecca Cray is in studio to round up all of the League of Ireland Women's Premier Division action and reflect on Piemont's win in Europe. Jeff Shepherd sets us up for the new NFL season, and we'll go through the rest of today's sports news headlines. As always, if you want to get in touch, you can text us on 51552, WhatsApp 087 187 9200, or we are on X at Game On 2FM.
Game On 2FM.
Good evening. Welcome along to the show. Rebecca Cray is in studio already. Rebecca, how are you?
Oh, good, Shane. Not too bad, thanks.
Good. News headlines before we get into this evening's show. Do you know what? Let's start with some football because you're sitting across from me, Rebecca. Alex Morgan, who has won two Women's World Cups and an Olympic gold medal with the United States of America, has announced her retirement from professional football. The 35-year-old confirmed her decision to retire in a video posted to social media this afternoon. Also said she is pregnant with her second child. The striker, who became one of the most famous female players in the world, will play her final professional match on Sunday when her club San Diego Wave take on North Carolina Courage. Alex Morgan, one of the greats to play the game, or one of the best marketed players in the game?
Arguable. For me, you know, I obviously have watched kind of her era, I suppose, growing up through the game, you know, in the last 10 to 15 years or so. Extremely marketable, I suppose. You know, she's that typical all-American girl, you know, obviously has that typically US style of athleticism, you know, and I was always kind of tended to be in the right place for me. I was more of a Carly Lloyd fan, to be honest with you. But look, all credit to her. I don't think the stats lie, you know, the accolades she has, and she's quite decorated in her achievements. And, you know, I think, I don't know if I had a part to play with Emma Hayes snubbing her for the recent Olympics, that she's kind of made her decision final. Obviously, look, she's 35. In football years, people say that's old. I know a few 34, 35 year olds still knocking around, still doing okay. But yeah, obviously with her second child, she's looking to extend her family. But yeah, look, all credit to her. She's done great things for women's football as well, I think. Has kind of spread that awareness throughout her time in the game. And obviously, you know, that helps in terms of exposure and getting the women's game on its platform that it has now. So yeah, look, you can't fault her in a way.
123 goals, 53 assists across 224 appearances for the USA. But my follow up question to you, Rebecca, is in 2022 she was part of the US side which secured a landmark equal pay deal after all members of the squad filed a lawsuit. Morgan said she is proud to have played a part in making an irreversible impact on the game for the next generation of female footballers. You touched on it there in your initial answer, to be fair, Rebecca, but just the impact she's had off the pitch as well will stand to future generations.
Yeah, most definitely. I think a lot of the kind of more recent female players in the game across all teams in the world kind of have made their stand off the pitch in more recent times, you know, and obviously them being the most successful team in international football, you know, that was a huge statement to make. They kind of put their necks on the line in a sense, you know, for the good of the game. So look, that's something that can stand to them forever. And they kind of led the line in that sense, you know, back in obviously with our in 2017 was a breakthrough moment, but for them to come out on you know such a huge kind of stage up against US soccer to get those kind of wins off the pitch was massive, and look, it's something that's going to stand there for years to come.
Absolutely. We will be chatting football in detail. Guy Mowbray is going to join us for our continued Ireland-England build-up, and I'll be picking your brain, Rebecca, on the League of Ireland, on Piemont, and indeed Pearl Slattery getting a player of the month.
The
we talk
only.
About players who can do it in their early 30s. So she's still talking about
only a young one.
Only a young one, indeed. Right, you're sticking around, Rebecca. Elsewhere, closer to home in news, trainer John Joseph Shark Hanlon has been given a 10-month ban and fined €2,000 over an incident in which he transported a deceased horse in public view. The offence was deemed to damage the good reputation of racing. by the referrals committee of the Irish Horse Racing Regulatory Board. The last 5 months of the punishment have been suspended, providing Hanlon abides by a number of rules regarding his ban. On June 14th, Hanlon removed a deceased horse from a paddock in Kilkenny. In cricket, Cricket Ireland have announced that Graham West, the current Cricket West Indies High Performance Manager, has been appointed Director of High Performance with Ireland and will start in the role next month. Cricket Ireland have also issued well wishes to former all-rounder Irish international Simi Singh, because he is dealing with a life-threatening condition. Singh represented Ireland for 5 years, 35 one-day internationals, 53 T20s, last featured back in 2022. Cricket Ireland published a statement earlier today which sent well wishes to Singh, who, according to the Times of India publication, is awaiting a liver transplant. Cricket Ireland said, "We've received shocking news that our friend Simi Singh is currently dealing with life-threatening health circumstances." On behalf of Cricket Ireland, Chief Executive Warren Dutram said, and indeed the wider Irish cricket community, he would like to extend our best wishes and prayers to Simi as he takes on this new fight. After moving to Ireland, Simi has become a central figure within Irish cricket, whether at international, provincial or club level. He's shown a desire and drive to succeed. We now hope that this same drive will see him come through the current circumstances. Stay strong, Simi. We're all behind you. And I echo those thoughts and sentiments from all of us here at Game On. I've had the pleasure of interviewing Simi a couple of times. An absolute gentleman and a great servant of Cricket Ireland. So we wish Simi all the best in that challenge. To Paralympics now, because Roisin Nureen has maintained her push for a third Paralympic medal after advancing to tonight's SB13 100 metre breaststroke final at La Defence Arena. And we will bring you live commentary, as I mentioned, here on Game On just after 6:30. The 19-year-old, who's already picked up silver in 100 metre backstroke and bronze in the 200 metre individual medley, will take her place in tonight's final at 6:33 p.m. to be precise, Irish time, if it all does go to schedule. Nureen is the reigning European champion in the event, having set a PB of 1 minute 18 seconds in April, and is likely to need to threaten that time as she qualified as third fastest from this morning's heats. A Limerick teenager posted a time of 1:19.05 and finishing just over 2.5 seconds down on heat winner Rebecca Redfern. And Olivia Chambers of the US also posted a faster time in her heat. After her heat, Nureen was speaking to Siobhan Madigan.
Yeah, definitely a case of job done this morning. I wanted to get out and have a good morning swim and get into tonight. So definitely just go back, have a look now and see where I can improve, get some more time down for later.
Absolutely, and it's been such a busy week. How did that feel for you?
Yeah, I was looking forward to this event. I always love 100 breaststroke, so it was nice to come out this morning and have a bit of fun and into tonight, and we'll see where that goes tonight.
I don't know how you can describe this as fun, but your block time, your reaction time off the start was superb this morning.
Well, I didn't know that, but yeah, that's definitely a positive, and it's just about cleaning up different areas now to put a better swim together tonight.
And swimming beside the British girl this morning, does that give you a little bit of a measure of where you need to be?
Well, I mean, you know, that's the fun in our races. We don't really know where we are, and we can't see the others. So, you know, it really is just a case of get in and swim your own race and then see what the time is after it.
So Roisin Nureen goes in her final 6:33 p.m. If it does go to schedule, we will be bringing you live commentary. We'll be checking in with Siobhan in Paris later on. Now, to mark the start of the American football season tonight, as NFL champions Kansas City Chiefs return to action, we are going to talk to Jeff Shepherd very shortly. But first, there is a lot of hype around this season upcoming and ahead for the Chiefs.
In a league where your greatest accomplishments define you, we've joined in a league.
There is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
But we know there's another level to reach. A chance to be one of one. And the truth is, never been done has never seen a team like this. Back-to-back world championships established our reputation. But now, it's about legacy. So no matter what stands in our way, just know everything's impossible until it isn't. And we have history to make.
Game On.
Eye on America.
Now, as is tradition of a Thursday, Jeff Shepherd joins us with his Eye on America. But this is a very special Thursday edition, Shep, because I imagine you're a little extra giddy ahead of the new NFL season. And it all kicks off tonight with the Ravens at the Chiefs.
Yep. You know, it makes Thursday a little bit more bearable at work, you know, when you've got the NFL football. Yeah. So look, about, I don't know, you know, Shane, it's been 15 years, maybe a little bit longer than that. The NFL started this thing where, you know, Thursday night football, the defending Super Bowl champion will play a home game and, you know, they get to raise the banner and, you know, kind of put the finishing touches on last year's championship. You know, the first couple of seasons, it was always a slaughter where the home team, the crowd would be so amped up and, you know, they'd go and win. But I mean, this has got, you know, AFC championship game vibes to it in week one between Baltimore and Kansas City. So, I mean, this is, you really can't find a more marquee matchup anywhere on the NFL schedule really this season. They have Lamar Jackson and his guys, Derrick Henry, visiting Kansas City, you know, and Mahomes, and Kelsey, and the whole crew there. So just such an unbelievable game and just a great way to kick off the NFL season.
Yeah, absolutely. What a way to start things off. Now, if we fast forward to tomorrow, we have the Packers playing the Eagles in Brazil.
Yes, so we've had games in Mexico before. You know, we've had games in, obviously, in London and games in Germany. But this is the first time they've really gone into South America to go play down in Brazil. And so, you know, same thing. You know, you got the AFC, two heavyweights that are going to be playing. You got two NFC heavyweights that are going to be playing on Friday night, two, you know, playoff teams from last year. You know, the Cowboys, the Packers destroyed the Cowboys in the opening round of the playoffs. Eagles upset by the Bucks there. So, I mean, you know, both of these teams feel like they have a lot to prove. You've got Jalen Hurts and Jordan Love and, you know, all the things that are going on with both those two great quarterbacks. And again, I mean, you know, this is an interesting one. You know, here in America on Friday nights, that's typically when the local high school football is played all across the United States. And it's kind of been a sacred right that the NFL and college football, they really don't ever want to infringe on the Friday night football aspect of, I mean, because it's small town, it's mom and dad, it's apple pie, it's all that America stuff, okay? And then this year, the NFL's like, no, we're going to do this, and we're going to do it in South America, and we'll just see what happens. And the NFL, you know, Shane, doesn't do anything subtly, so I think this is the beginning, not the end of something, right?
Mm. Great, listen, that's all preamble for the big news that I really want to pick your brain about. Aaron Rodgers returns for the Jets. He's going to lead my boys to the promised land, Shep, right?
You would have to think he's going to play more than four plays this year, right? I mean, just off the top of your head, right, Shane? I mean, he's got to be around for at least four plays.
I hope.
Yeah, that's right. Unlike last year. But so he, you know, is coming back. The Jets are a very fancy pick to either win the AFC East or make the playoffs, you know, with him, Breece Hall, and Garrett Wilson and their offense. They should have a high-powered offense. I think people are expecting them to challenge the Buffalo Bills and have a good season this year.
Okay, well, that is certainly positive. A lot of people, well, do you know what? Actually, a lot of people aren't awake to their potential this year. The Chargers, perhaps, and Jim Harbaugh's debut as well.
Well, look, Shane, all Jim Harbaugh does is win wherever he goes. He wanted Stanford. He won when he was with the San Francisco 49ers. He won a national championship in Michigan. You know, they're not getting a lot of publicity to start the season this year, but I think once they get into the meat of their schedule and the nuts and bolts, I think the Chargers are going to be rolling.
Okay, well, that certainly is one to keep an eye on as this season unfolds. Players to keep an eye on as this season unfolds. In terms of rookies, we have Williams, Daniels, Harrison Jr., a lot of names to keep an eye on. Who's going to shine brightest?
I think they all are. I think Caleb Williams with the Chicago Bears is going to be a really good quarterback. He likes to throw the ball much more than he likes to run it. You've got Jaden Daniels, the reigning Heisman Trophy winner, who's going to be with the Commanders in Washington. He can do both things really well. Big things are expected out of him. And then you've got Marvin Harrison Jr., who folks are calling the best NFL-ready college prospect in the wide receiver position in decades. And so he's got his quarterback, Kyler Murray, coming back from a year with a bunch of injuries, and they're expecting big, big numbers put up out of him. So, you know, every year you expect rookies, you know, you hope rookies are going to perform well, but these three guys are in positions to really shine.
Before I ask you the million-dollar question and predict who's going to go all the way and meet in the Super Bowl final, has Tom Brady been on to you for some broadcasting tips? Has there been such excitement about how someone will get on as a color commentator?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think people are excited to see what he's going to do. Look, you know, I heard someone say the other day, like, oh, he's really been, you know, he's really dove into this and he's really taken it very seriously. It's like, it's Tom Brady. What did you expect? You know, like this is what he does. And so, yeah, he's got the Cowboys and the Browns game on Sunday, which is another big game, obviously, this week with Dak Prescott and all the things that are going on in Dallas. A lot of eyes will be on that football game. Look, it is different. But I mean, you know, we saw how popular Tony Romo was as an announcer a couple of years ago, his first couple of seasons out of the locker room and in the press box. And I expect the same thing will happen with Tom Brady as well.
Well, will he live up to the hype? Just to put into perspective as well, because I was reading these figures, and I know we've spoken about it before, Shep, but he earned just over $317 million over a 23-year playing career. $375 million 10-year deal with Fox. To talk about... I don't know. That genuinely took my breath away. But anyway, listen, right. We'll park Tom Brady for the moment. Super Bowl pairing. Early days. Hasn't even all begun yet. Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot, Shep.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's kind of it's like the Chiefs in the AFC. It's kind of like that's such a vanilla pick. They weren't even the best team in the league last year, and they still make it to the Super Bowl. So it's kind of like, why would you pick against them? And I know that's just so, you know, boring. I would say it's either going to be the Chiefs or maybe the Houston Texans out of the AFC. The NFC is 100% wide open. But, you know, their history be damned. I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions. They had an unbelievable run last year. They really could have made it last season. They've got almost their entire team back this year. I think this might be the year that they get over the hump and get back to the Super Bowl.
Great stuff. On that note, lots to look forward to. We will be reviewing all of that and plenty more besides next week with yourself, Shep. For now, thanks so much for taking the call. Great chatting as always.
Game on 2FM.
Now, you're very welcome back to Game On. Just over 10 minutes away until Roisin Nureen is back in the pool at La Défense Arena in the 100-metre breaststroke final. And we will be bringing you live commentary from Paris of that one. Scheduled for 18:33 to be precise. Speaking of commentary and commentators, a very recognisable voice joins me on the line now. I'm delighted to say BBC's legendary football commentator Guy Mowbray is on the line. Guy, how are you, sir?
I'm very well, Shane. How's yourself?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very much looking forward to the big one on Saturday, Ireland against England in the Aviva Stadium. Lots of narratives, lots of avenues to explore. And we have been chatting last couple of days from the Irish point of view, to be fair, with Paul Corry and Keith Tracy were on the show, and Mark Langdon was on Tuesday as well, and Hamer Halgrimson, his first match in charge, and how this Irish team might look. But for Lee Carsey, from the English point of view, perhaps, Guy, obviously Lee Carsey with his Irish connections led England to victory in the European Under-21 Championship in 2023. Now, as interim manager as the senior side, is there belief and positivity surrounding Lee that he can bring success to this English side?
Cautiously, I think, yeah. Because of what you just pointed out, the success that he had with the younger age group, and he straight away made his mark by promoting a number of them into the senior squad. So I think cautiously people are thinking, you know what, this might not be a bad solution, but I don't think anybody's really thinking that it's long-term yet. Now, if he wins two games this month and two games in October, then suddenly the narrative will change somewhat. And I think he certainly means to be a major player, hence the squad that he's named and the changes that he's made. He means business, and I think he's meant business ever since he got into the England coaching setup. So you never know. Watch this space. He might be the main man. He might just be keeping the seat warm. I don't think anybody quite knows at this moment.
The English football job, it's a quite a pressurised gig, to say the least. And Mark Langdon was making this point actually on Tuesday's show. It was an interesting point of he's not the biggest name in his playing career. Now, like personally speaking, I loved him playing in that number six role both for Ireland and everything and everything else. And he was a really good player, and he mightn't have been the most glamorous player. So does he not only need two wins here, but two massive performances, because perhaps the English public and the English fans might want a so-called household name to take charge on a permanent basis?
There's a lot of that, yeah. And you're exactly right what you say about the English national team job. I mean, it is, I think, second and maybe even on a par with running the country. It's up there as impossible. You can't please anybody. I mean, I can't believe, personally, Gareth Southgate would get any stick whatsoever, having watched the transformation in the squad from a position of almost abject failure to, and then almost a laughingstock as well, briefly, to getting to two major finals, a semi-final of a World Cup, a quarter-final of the next one, when one penalty away from maybe taking that further. So if you look at his pure record, but of course, style, oh, it's not the right style, oh, it's too negative, everybody knows better. And Gareth wasn't sexy enough. That's basically it. They look at the names in the Premier League, I think, a lot of fans, and they see the Pep Guardiolas and Jurgen Klopps and, for a good long while, Jose Mourinho. And they're just not sexy enough. So, yeah, Lee Carsey's got an incredibly hard job to win those people over. And those are the people that seem to shout loudest. It'll never be enough, sort of thing. And as for not being, you know, a glamorous player, that shouldn't matter. Once you're in the coaching game, that shouldn't matter. I mean, you know, Mourinho, I've just mentioned him, is a case in point. Never had a playing career. But, yeah, you know, goodness me, what a good boss he was. And probably still is somewhere.
Yeah. I've said it for years. Lee Carsey is sexy enough to bring any team to top levels. That just goes without saying. But that style of football, I say that tongue-in-cheek, but that style of football on a more sincere note, and the young guns that are being brought through, like, what do Ireland have to be wary of come Saturday, basically, from Lee Carsley's England?
I think they have to be wary that the brakes will be off, and there's quite a few people who will be eager for that. And wanting to prove something themselves and just wanting to play. I think it could be a really good game, actually. You know, some of these internationals, especially after the back of major tournaments, and then you get into the season's just started, and you think, oh, no football fans really want a break 3 games into the new sort of top division season. They don't really want that. So it kind of, it's viewed with suspicion, the whole thing that comes around. But I think this actually could buck the trend. I think this could be a really good game, because I'm expecting England to play with the handbrake released, if they were doing that at all. I'm not sure they were. I think sometimes you've got to say, hang on a minute, look at the opposition we're up against. Goodness me. You know, there's more than one team playing here. So I think that will be the case. I'm really looking forward to seeing, well, I want to see Jack Grealish, well, this will upset a few Ireland fans, I know, but I want to see Jack Grealish back on the field as well, because I think his inclusion was the one that raised my eyebrows the most, because I think that was the one. Not a thumbing the nose to Gareth Southgate, but it was like, right, I would have had him in. Here he is. He's back. So that's the one. And Morgan Gibbs-White, who's been pushing for a little while, that'll be good to see. No Kyle Walker in the squad. Rico Lewis has got his chance to actually get in and stay in. Or does he pick Trent or Alexander-Arnold in the right-back role, or does he play him in midfield? There's a lot of questions to be answered, a lot of things to sit and watch. But I actually think it's going to be a really entertaining game all round.
Hopefully, here's hoping, it is sold out of Aviva on Saturday as well. From the Irish point of view then, and there's a lot of Irish fans are intrigued to see how different Hamer Hallgrimsson's Ireland will compare to perhaps Stephen Kenny, and indeed to John O'Shea for his spell in charge. I know John O'Shea is still involved, but how are Ireland viewed in general by the English public, I suppose, that international side?
Well, from my point of view, nearly everybody I speak to, it's everybody's second team.
Okay.
It kind of has been for a long time. Maybe not the diehard England fans who travel everywhere, but, you know, your average watcher at home, nobody ever, certainly nobody I speak to, sort of thinks, oh, we don't want Ireland to do well. Different story with Scotland. Different story to a certain degree with Wales and with Northern Ireland, but with the Republic. Yeah, everybody's pretty much on side with them. And because there's so many players we're familiar with that play in the Premier League and the Football League, you know, virtually the whole squad, isn't it? Connected with so many. There's a couple from Celtic. There's who's the boy? Oh, Troy Parrott, of course, has gone to the Netherlands. So, yeah. But of course, he's been known from being at Spurs and his loan spells and what have you. So the players are also familiar as well. So I think it's hard to say it without doing that English sort of horrible patronising thing. But because a lot of players are from the Football League, it's kind of, oh, this will be good. Yeah, well, I like seeing them. I like these players, sort of thing. So there's a little bit of that, which in turn gives extra incentive for Ireland to go, right, here we go. We're going to have a real go at you. And the way that England, I'd expect England to play, I think there'll be the chance to do that. And that's why I'm expecting it to be a really good game.
No, that's a very fair point, actually. The likes of, I'm sure, Everton fans would want Seamus Coleman to do well, Liverpool fans, Kevin Keller, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
The view towards Hamer Hallgrimsson, is there still a hangover from the Iceland defeat?
Oh, as soon as you mentioned his name earlier, I just got a little shiver, because that day in 2016 during my time covering the England national team was the worst day I've ever experienced. It was just awful. It was just horrible. That from the moment it started to go wrong, and you could see it start to go wrong on the field during the game, And then it just, the atmosphere afterwards, there's this sort of myth that some of the press like it and they can stick the knife in when England are poor and all this. But genuinely, there was shock and people were absolutely sick. They were fed up, everybody, after that game. Because, you know, however the national team does affects how they do their job as well. And they want to see them winning. And that was just awful. That really was just awful. That was a low. And I go back to the point I made earlier. From that, very quickly, Gareth Southgate was in charge. And I think people who have denigrated, you know, what he's done with the national team or choose to criticise him constantly, have got to remember that game. Mm. Just remember that game and remember where England were. And then the brief period of Sam, which, let's be honest, that was just embarrassing. So remember where they were. You never know. This might be another moment to think, oh, here we go again. There's something good happening. Or it could go the other way around. Hymir could come back to haunt us once more.
Who knows? We shall find out on Saturday. Guy Mobley, for now, we're going to have to leave the conversation there. Thank you so much for taking the call. We are taking a very short ad break because when we come back, we will be crossing to Paris and get Roisin Nureen's final. So do stick with us here on Game On 2FM.
Game On 2FM.
Now, we are just moments away from Roisin Nureen being back in the pool, maintaining her push for a third Paralympic medal after advancing to tonight's SB13 100 metre breaststroke final at La Défense Arena. And we will be crossing live to the pool very, very shortly when we see Roisin Nureen and her competitors enter the pool to compete in that 100 metre breaststroke final. We will be chatting Women's Football League of Ireland and Piemont in Europe and Pearl Slattery rolling back the years with a Player of the Month award and everything else besides with Rebecca Cray, who's still in studio. Rebecca, apologies I didn't bring you in for the conversation on Ireland-England, chatting to Guy Mowbray there, BBC football commentator. Just very briefly, because I see we are heading to the pool very shortly, but are you expecting a helter-skelter, frenetic match on Saturday?
I think any time England and Ireland come up against each other, it could be tiddlywinks. There's always some sort of atmosphere. But yeah, look, I'm sure it'll be a case of both sides going out to prove a point, you know, very fresh and obviously Ireland set up, you know, only a few days in camp and going out to kind of make their statements, each player, with the new management involved. And obviously then with Lee Carsley as well, being, you know, the interim at the minute. Obviously a good few players, 9 changes on the England side to come in and obviously make their statements as well. So look, it'd be a case of probably just feeling each other out for a little bit, and no doubt the crowd will get right behind that and create a great atmosphere. Yeah,
well, a sold out Aviva Stadium as Ireland looking to make their mark on England. Roisin Nureen is looking to medal in the 100 metre breaststroke final at La Défense Arena, and we can go live now to our television commentary of John Kenny.
Silver at the European Championships in April is the first of the two American swimmers, Colleen Young. She's in lane number 6, Colleen Young, 26 years of age. Here is Roisin Nureen, silver and bronze so far. Third fastest qualifier into this final. Coached by John Saranek, Olivia Chambers. Olivia Chambers, 21 years of age, gold in the 400 free, silver in the 200 IM. A threat to Nureen, as will this girl be. She won the heat this morning ahead of Nureen. Nureen in second place to the 24-year-old Rebecca Redfern in the centre lane is the gold medal favourite. The world record stands to Amalova of Uzbekistan, set in Jakarta back in 2018. Silver in the 200 IM for Roisin Nureen and bronze in the 100 back. She's got a chance of a medal here, James Scully.
Definitely great chance for Roisin here. Rebecca Redfern would be the favourite to win it, but outside of that, you're in the mix between Roisin, the two Americans, and watch the neutral, the two swimmers under the neutral flag. Both of them have been around the 117, which is Roisin's best. Now, I don't know whether they're on form. They've been a bit off earlier this morning, but this is all in the mix. I'd like to see Roisin really attack that with this race with confidence. Good swim in the morning, but she has the fitness, she has the technical capacity, and she has the ability to go much faster than she did this morning.
Take your marks.
Ireland so far, one gold, two silver, two bronze, five medals so far at these games, Paralympic Games in Paris. And Roisin Ni Rin rises, a white cap, you can see her in lane number three, but this is going to be a very close race between these eight swimmers. Redfern in the middle lane in the red cap has the lead, and she is the undoubted favourite. Chambers is the second fastest qualifier, Ni Rin is the third, and what we saw this morning, James, is that Roisin brought it home really well behind Redfern. This is the 50 metre mark, we get the indication of where she is now. She is down in fourth place, needs to bring it home strong now, get a medal.
She does, and she, this is where she excels. It's the last 25, first 25 and last 25 is really good from Roisin. She needs to really attack it now. She's in the mix for that medal and needs to bring it home.
Redfern goes for home with 25 metres to swim. Alongside her in lane number five is Olivia Chambers. There's Roisin Ni Rin in the white cap. She's in currently in third place. Above her is Paula Lopez, and also down is Colleen Young. It's going to be very tight for that bronze medal. I don't think Roisin's going to do that because Colleen Young is finishing like an express train. She's going to be run out of it. Sadly, won't take a medal. Redfern wins it as expected in a 1:16.02. That's a modest time for her. Chambers in second place and Young in third. America 2 and 3. Ni Rin finishes in fourth place in a 1:19.16. Maybe the exertions of the week, that's her fourth final, has finally paid, because she can go a lot faster than that. She's a 1:17 swimmer, but a 1:19.16, and again for the second time this week she's finished in fourth place.
Yeah, look, well done to Roisin. Fourth place is it. There's nothing shameful or anything like that in fourth place. I thought she looked maybe a tiny bit tired in the last 25. She maybe didn't finish as strongly as we normally see her do. A little bit of spinning in the water, not dramatically spinning in the water, but usually she's really good over the last 25. The Americans, instead, it was the Americans that powered through at the end of the race.
Redfern was always going to win that one, won it by 1.68 seconds in the end. Chambers was always in second place, but the battle really came down conjoined between Colleen Young from the United States and Roisin Ni Rin of Ireland. Paula Lopez also involved. That's the touch at the end for Redfern, and that's put Great Britain now back on top of the medal table. They've got 15 goals now to China's 14 goals. And they, congratulations from the two American swimmers. But here's the result then. Rebecca Redfern, the two American swimmers in second and third place, and hard luck to Roisin Ni Rin. But she leaves here with her head held high with the silver and bronze. But just tonight wasn't her night.
So a fourth place finish for Roisin Ni Rin. Siobhan Madigan joins us now on the line from La Défense Arena. Fourth place finish. Disappointing finish in the end for Roisin, Siobhan. And Siobhan hopefully will be joining us. A few gremlins in the lines in Paris at the moment. But a fourth place finish for Roisin Ni Rin, aiming for a third Paralympic medal. Wasn't to be, just outside the medal positions. But the 19-year-old, as I mentioned already, already picked up silver in the 100-metre backstroke and bronze in the 200-metre individual medley. So massive congratulations to to Roisin Ni Rin, I should say, at the Paralympic Games. And we may cross back to Siobhan Madigan in Paris, who I believe is on the line now. Siobhan, a fourth place finish for Roisin. Perhaps fatigue might have played a little part in that swim.
Yeah, I think so. She's had a very, very busy week, and she's still like really in the infancy of her career. She's only a 19-year-old teenager. Of course, she's got her studies and everything else to contend with, as well as now being a Paralympic medalist. I think the two medals that she won earlier in the week was
a great achievement. Absolutely.
Wonderful achievement. But she was really relaxed this morning, I thought, and I thought that she might just do enough to get up and maybe nick a medal. But as you say, I think maybe fatigue did play its part there tonight. And it's mental fatigue as much as anything else.
It most certainly is. Siobhan Madigan, I'll let you go there. I know you've other duties in Paris. Thanks so much for taking the call and checking in with us. Massive congratulations to Roisin Ni Rin. Fourth place this evening, but two medals already racked up in a terrific, tremendous Paralympic Games for the 19-year-old Limerick teenage swimmer. We are taking a short ad break and then we're chatting football with Rebecca Cray, League of Ireland, P's in Europe, lots to get through. Stick with us here in Game On 2FM. Do you know what, Rebecca? Who needs to pay the bills? Who needs to pay the bills? The ad breaks. There's something in the line. There's something going on this evening. But you know what? We get to chat League of Ireland football, so it's all worth it. We don't need to take a break. We don't need to take a break. We just power on. We power on. Listen, let's begin our conversation. P's in Europe. Big win. A dramatic win for P Mount. Kerry Lettman, formerly of your parish in Shelburne, getting the extra time winner over Dinamo Minsk last night. Ellen Dolan opened the scoring and Minsk equalised and then extra time in. A dramatic win. Is it fair to say a shock win?
Yeah, do you know what? I think a lot of people maybe underestimated P Mount going out there, given their league form this season. You know, they kind of have lost a few players. You know, the depth of their squad has been questioned over the course of the season so far. And I think very much people were of the opinion that they're going out just to be there maybe. And I think, as we've seen in last season's campaign, they enjoy that underdog status of just flowing under the radar and just taking things in their stride. But look, all credit to them. Went out there, 30-odd degree heat, put it right to Minsk up until the 95th minute when, Kerry Lettman, fantastic run that she made and slotted it home from about 6 yards out. So look, great for the league. Really good to see them progressing now onto Saturday.
Was it surprising or how difficult is it even taking that hit and miss league form? Like when you look at the league table, 6 wins, 4 draws, 6 defeats for P Mount, 5th in the table, and then to go and try and park that all and play European football, because you've played European football in your career and you've been involved as from the coaching or from the sideline aspect of it as well. Is it difficult switching from that domestic kind of mindset into European football?
Do you know what? I think it's a bit of a refresher. Like in terms of football, you know, they get to park that side of it domestically. You know, obviously there's opinions that knock around throughout a season, how they're mid-table, they're not doing as well as they should have, you know, they should be, and all this kind of stuff. And you kind of park that for a bit and go off on a bit of a journey. You know, really exciting time for the club, for the players and staff. It's kind of something that you're kind of looking forward to from last season to get to this point. And obviously they've increased their personnel and bringing Niamh Farrelly back on board, and obviously have great young players and Jess Fitzgerald and Ellen Dolan who showed that yesterday. Obviously Karen Duggan is in there holding the fourth as well. So I think for them it was a case of just parking everything that's happened so far this season, going out a little bit rejuvenated. Exciting time. Yeah, it's quite hot out there, but go out and prove a point that look, there's still players in this league, you know, and they're still very much there or thereabouts in terms of Irish football, and obviously representing the league as well as they did in that game. So look, as I said, all credit to them, and hopefully they can go even further on Saturday.
Yeah, just a final one on that then. It's the format. It's a 4-team tournament, so they've won their first round as such, and now they play the host team, because it is all based in Croatia in their group. Croatian team Osijek play on Saturday in the final. Would you be confident they can get over the line, because it's going to be another gargantuan task?
Look, you have to be, I think, positive in a sense. I don't know about confident, but definitely positive. Look, they've kind of had a tough run out going into about 5-6 minutes extra, full extra time, I should say. You know, in that heat, it will take it out of the girls. The Croatian team are very much the most decorated, I think, in Croatian football and the women's side of things out there. You know, I think they've over 24 championships over the course of their existence, I should say. Our professional team as well. So you have to take all that into consideration when they're going into these games. But look, stranger things have happened. You know, they've qualified before, albeit based off other results. Obviously, ourselves at Raheny done it out of a group as well, which we are third seeds in. So anything can happen. Look, the girls will be riding on a wave, and no doubt we'll go out and give it their all to try and secure that win.
Final one in European football. Arsenal thumped Rangers 6-0 today in their Champions League playoff. Caitlin Ford scored 4 goals, and her hat-trick goal came from a spectacular volley at the far post, assisted by Republic of Ireland captain Katie McCabe's cross. So nice to have an Irish angle on that. We are going to chat about the League of Ireland review and preview, but let's pay the bills, Rebecca. Let's take a short ad break and then we chat League of Ireland Women's Premier Division football.
Game on.
Football.
Now, Rebecca Cray is still with us as we continue our football chat, League of Ireland Women's Premier Division action. 51552 is the text number. Brendan has sent us a message. Another great result for Galway last night. What a title run-in we have. Well, Rebecca, what a title run-in indeed we do have. At Lone, league leaders, 34 points, 14 matches played. Shells, second place, 15 matches played, 2 points behind on 32 points. Galway, a game in hand over Shells now, and just 1 point behind them. 31 points after a 4-1 victory over Treaty United. We certainly have a fiercely contested title run in now with not long to go.
Yeah, most definitely. Look, it's going to be a really exciting end to the season. You know, I think a lot of people mid-season there just wrote Galway off briefly. Obviously catching up on their games in hand now are knocking on the door, and I think it's been a while maybe since we've seen a complete three-horse race, let's just say. You know, it's obviously alone at the top there with the game in hand at 34. It's theirs to lose. Very much pressure on in that sense, and obviously Shells have obviously had their recent draw as well against Bowes, which is something that they'd be not too happy about. But look, as we say and as we have said over the course of time, there's still a lot to play for in this league. Anything can happen.
Athlone were idle last weekend. They play Cork City and Lizzie Wullen this Saturday. How will they handle that pressure now of the target on their back and leading the pack as opposed to being in the chasing pack?
Yeah, I don't really know. It's unknown territory for them. You know, they've not been in this position before, and you know, trying to see it out, as they say. It is, you know, subconsciously maybe, you know, it's more so that they're probably not trying to think about it, you know, focus on themselves each game as it comes, the usual kind of stuff. But in the round there, you know, in the mix, they'll be thinking that, look, we kind of have to see these next few games out. It'd be interesting to see how they fare now, having lost two of their top goal scorers recently, sadly, to injury, and one has moved away to Nottingham Forest and Casey Howe, and obviously Chloe Singleton before her. But yeah, look, it'd be interesting to see how they fare. Cork City at home, Cork are really well set up. It's a case that, look, they may, you know, obviously try and hold out for that win, but Cork City will be coming out to try and get those 3 points as well.
You mentioned Shells would be frustrated with a 1-0 draw against Bowes, considering the defeat to Athlone. Now, they did have a dramatic cup victory over Shamrock Rovers that perhaps might have taken it out of them somewhat in terms of fatigue as well, going into extra time, really ran into the ground in Tallaght, and then had to go to Daly Mount for a tough Dublin derby then after.
Yeah, to come down off such a high like that, you know, after playing a full lot of you know, 90 minutes plus extra time, obviously with 10 players as well, you know, you'd players in that squad running 15-14k for the game, you know, so to try and facilitate that game at the end of the week, not to make excuses, but you know, you're kind of running on half empty, you know, three starting players weren't involved either. Yeah, so look, pretty disappointed, but look, as you say, it's not a loss. It could fare, you know, could make out to be a good point come the end of the season for Shells. As we say, look, there's decisions within games as well that you can question. I won't say too much, I might get in trouble. But look, as we say, Bowes are a good side as well, well organised, but Shells just didn't seem to kick on in the second half to kind of secure that win.
Will Galway kick on? They're live in the box Saturday evening, 7:35 in Wexford against Wexford. Also, just to mention, actually, live TG Carr covered Saturday, September 14, Treaty Athlone in Marketsfield at 7:35, and then on Saturday, September 28, Galway United host Shelburne in Amy DC Park at 4:45, both live on television. But Galway this weekend away to Wexford, will they kick on and push on now?
Yeah, look, really tough place to go. Wexford is always one of those places. They seem to be coming into a little bit of form as well. Ella Malloy is running the show down there for them. Obviously, live on TV, there's kind of a lot of things that come into play. This might be the game that you could kind of question, given that it's in hand against Wexford, who are a really dogged, you know, tough side to come up against, especially in Wexford. It'd be very interesting to see how they fare. They obviously got their good win yesterday, you know, with the 4-1. And again, it's a kind of midweek game, let's just say, so they'd be coming off the back of that as well. But definitely one to watch, and definitely a good one for the neutrals.
Yeah, is fixture congestion in that regard, like, coupling it with the cup as well, is that a factor, or is it, listen, you've 3-4 days to recover, you should be well able?
It does play its part, I think. You know, like, you have to take into consideration the majority or all these players work full time. They go to college, they go to school. You know, you're travelling, like next week Shells have to go to Sligo on a Wednesday evening at 7:45, you know, so like you have got these kind of out of the ordinary kind of fixtures being thrown in on Tuesdays and Wednesdays and whatever it may be.
There are obstacles. The women's Premier Division might have to contend with that. That wouldn't be in the life of the men's side of things.
Yeah, and it's just another thing to add to the list, I think, Shane. I know we talk about, you know, this league and how far it's come and how still, you know, far it has to go. It's kind of just a case of, like, we throw it in there, we just get it done and over it. But you kind of have to take into consideration, you know, welfare players, you know, there's people out on their last legs in terms of injuries at this stage of the season. As I said, work, school, college commitments come into play as well. So, you know, you're trying to juggle all that and still go out and perform at the highest level. Sometimes it's not possible. You might see teams that are usually, you know, leading the charge that maybe fall behind, drop points, whatever it may be. So, look, there is still a lot to contend with. Hopefully it's a case that it's looked at for going forward.
Is there an alternative, though? Because you have the Avenir Cup, which has seemed to be largely a success, and certainly from a Galway point of view anyway. And then if you do have FAI Cup matches, I know the Shells Rovers match was probably pushed out because Rovers were in the Avenir Cup match, so then they're playing it on Monday. It's less tired turnaround
for
Shells.
It's a hard one because there's a knock-on effect. Obviously, it's great having that Avenir Cup to kind of fill those gaps, you know, at certain times of the season, but then you come to these points where, you know, you're kind of squeezing games into the latter end of the season. You know, there's just kind of something for the powers that be, maybe to sit down someone that maybe has a bit more about them than I do, but I'm sure there is answers there that we can iron out, you know, and, you know, take into consideration all these other factors, with obviously the schedules of people's personal lives as well coming into play.
Well, one player who isn't suffering with any fatigue is Shelburne captain Pearl Slattery, who has been voted SSC Electricity Women's Premier Division Player of the Month for July, August. With the Reds chasing a fourth league title, Slattery has been key to their pursuit, with the club sitting in second place, as I mentioned, just behind Athlone. Slattery has been a leading figure for Shells this season and has emerged as their top goal scorer with her finishes in the wins over DLR Waves and Cork City, bringing her tally up to 5 goals. And it is important to mention here, Pearl Slattery is a centre-half. former striker, I think might mention on the show, but a centre half at present. The second time the Dubliner has won this award, and the first since August 2017. Now there's longevity for you.
Telling you, she's had a rebirth in the last few years. She's kicking.
What has clicked
so well? I don't know. I think it's just a rejuvenation across the board in terms of the let's just say the more experienced players at Shelburne. Given I know them personally, you know, I think that the youth at Shells keep the girls on their toes. There's so many great players coming through the ranks now. The girls have, you know, credit to them, stepped up their training. I don't think I've ever seen herself, you know, Noelle, Rachel, all these kind of players, Sophie. You know, I think when you get to this point of your career, it's either a case of, right, do I succumb to these injuries or these little niggles and, you know, trying to maybe progress in careers or you know, personal life. But the girls have grabbed it by the scruff of the neck. You know, they're football girls. They love this game, and you know, it's great to see. They're leading the charge, and they have that longevity, and it just shows there with Pearl winning the award this week. I was so thankful to see that a defender has finally won it. I don't think we've had a defender win it for a while, and obviously it made it even sweeter that was Pearl. Look, she's a credit to herself, a credit to the club, her family. She's put it in the last few years, especially. And is obviously leading the charge from the back and at the front as well with the 5 goals. So, yeah, really, really great achievement for her.
Well, a defender winning it ahead of Galway United's attacker, Julianne Russell, and Athlone Town forward, Kerri-Anne Brown. Listen, 30 seconds or less, Becca. So Shells face Treaty. Shells will need a win to continue that push for the league title. Yes. As you mentioned, Galway away to Wexford, Athlone at home to Cork City now with the target on their back. Rovers Bows, very briefly, how do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, again, two teams in that mid-section of the table, both going out to prove their points. Obviously, Bowes coming off that 1-1 draw with Shells would be taking kind of positives from that. Rovers obviously beating Piemont as well, 1-0, coming off the back of the loss to Shells. So it's pretty much an even playing field between them two. I can't really call it. Can't see anything more than a draw, to be honest.
Okay, in a word, Sligo Rovers or DLR Waves?
DLR.
DLR. Okay, great stuff. Before we finish up this evening, we can hear from Roisin Nureen on her fourth place finish in that final. She was speaking to RT Sports' Clara Hester.
Obviously, I'm disappointed with that, but, you know, it's been a good week overall.
You said this morning that this event was box-ticked and there was just a few things to tidy up. How do you think that went for you strategically?
I'll have to have a look back. I don't think I probably got a bit too excited. Definitely didn't hit some of the stuff I needed to, but, you know, it's all learning.
Overall, though, this Paralympic Games has been a huge success. You have 2 medals. You must be incredibly proud and happy with how far you've come.
Yeah, for sure. Two medals is absolutely brilliant. Of course, that's not what I'm thinking about right now, you know, but yeah, I'll definitely be able to look back and be happy with that.
And yesterday, I don't know if you saw Katie George, after winning her gold, she mentioned how the medal winners from this Games are all visually impaired women and how inspiring that is for the children at home. Do you feel that?
Yeah, for sure. I saw that as well. And, you know, for visually impaired kids to be able to look up and see people like that, you know, it's really nice for them. I definitely would have loved to have that when I was younger. So, yeah, it's great for them.
And just the support that's been over here, I could see your family in the stands cheering you on. Could you feel that as well?
Yeah, you know, my family have been great. Friends and family, loads of them came over, and, you know, glad that they were able to come over and watch too, and it meant a lot.
We've all enjoyed watching you. Thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
Well, as Clara Hester said there, we've all enjoyed watching you. We have indeed. A massive congratulations to Roisin Nureen. Missed out on a third Paralympic medal, a fourth place finish this evening, but nothing to be scoffed at. 19 years of age, the Limerick teenager has picked up a silver in the 100-metre backstroke, a bronze in the 200-metre individual medley. So incredible stuff from Roisin Nureen. That is all we have time for on this evening's show. Big thanks to Ronan Lawler and Lauralee Davis for working on this evening's show. Big thanks to you for tuning in. Game On is back at 6 o'clock tomorrow. Marie Crowe will speak to you then, but do stay tuned to 2FM because the new music show is up next with January Winters. So do not go anywhere, but first we are going to check in with the news desk.